announcements for you. So if you will just let these play for you and give them a watch.
A bonfire to roast hot dogs and marshmallows, play some games, and relax. Bring your own chair and a side dish to share. In the event of rain, we'll postpone and inform everyone via email.
Join us on Good Friday at 7 p.m. for an evening of worship, scripture, and communion to reflect on the sacrifice Jesus made for each one of us.
Hi ladies, you are all invited to come to Volcano Hibachi Grill on Town Lake Parkway for some fun, fellowship, and of course, food. We will meet on March the 30th at 11:15 a.m. for an early lunch for Jesus Christ. We will begin Easter Sunday with a sunrise service at 7 a.m. followed by breakfast. We will have our normal services at 8:30 and 11 o'clock with Connect groups at 9:45. Nursery, pre-K, and 252 kids will be at 11. The vine will be canceled that day. Come prepared to give your full attention to Jesus because he and he alone deserves our worship.
One. Three.
Because of that, it's one of the many reasons that we come here today to worship you. So please be with us as we do that. In your name, amen.
One. Intro. Two. Three. 4.
Do your first born.
been said that a good leader would not ask his followers to do anything that he wouldn't do himself. So if this is true, how does Jesus Christ measure up as our leader? Let's consider some examples. First, Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who serves his disciples, my soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. But he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. On another occasion, Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 6:14, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive your sins. If you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive you. How forgiving was Jesus? He does not know what they are doing. As a third example, Jesus asked us to serve others. He said in Matthew 7:12, in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Of course, no greater service could Jesus perform than to give his life on the cross to pay for our sins. But as we come to this communion time, remember what Jesus did just before the last meal he had with his apostles. He humbled himself to wash their feet. Example of how we should live our lives. Please pray with me. Father in heaven, we come to this communion time to remember the broken body and shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his all on the cross that we may be redeemed of our sins and have the opportunity to spend eternity with you in heaven. Thank you for your love and the love of Jesus. And please help us to fulfill your will in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Everything we have really, truly belongs to the Lord, but there are several ways we can present our offerings. The boxes in the foyer and in the greeting area next door, online or through the mail. But let's remember that the reason we give is to serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to give to your kingdom, to bring our tithes and offering to your storehouse. May you bless them and use them to fulfill your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
Try now. Can you hear me now? Yeah. They straighten me out up there every once in a while. So, losing an hour should not affect us that much. But at 8:30, they were still asleep. And never fails. Don't Don't you love Easter? I mean, that's what we celebrate. It's where we come together to celebrate the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And I know you're thinking, but don't we do that every Sunday? Yeah, we do. But there's no reason we can't focus a little more on it now. We do it when we come around the communion table. We remember that every week here. Not everybody does, but we do it every week. And if you grew up in church, chances are that you've heard the story Jesus told many times. The church thing, and it's either way, this is an extremely important and powerful series we're about to go through. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, we need to realize he was paying the penalty for our sin that we couldn't pay. You're aware of that. He was paying for something that we couldn't pay. Not like you can't pay your power bill or your grocery bill, but the penalty of life and death. And when this happened, many of those standing around the cross believed it was the nails that held him there. They believe it was the nails that held him there to love others as well. So that means you have to love others, other people, as hard as it is sometimes. Because some of you are not very lovable. But he said this in John 13. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also are to love one another. And even as he was given this instruction, and this is something I think is clear to me, and it should be clear to us, is these disciples to learn from Jesus through his words, through the things that he spoke. How we're going to learn how to love others the way Jesus loves us. What was Jesus' motivation and his mission? What kept him engaged when it got difficult? Why would he trade his life for ours? Now we're going to turn to one of the most unused scripture in the Bible. Now, you know I'm being facetious there, right? If you've got your Bible or your app, you can turn to John 3:16. You know, you never heard that one before, have you? Right. Which have implications for us. And let's take a look at the first one where it says, God so loved the world. If you were to ask a Christian, any Christian, how to describe God, most of them would say something about love, wouldn't they? You would say, God loves me. The Bible tells me so. I sang it 100 times. It's clear to see all throughout the Bible that God is a God of love, compassion, and care. However, if you were to ask someone in the world to describe God, they would tell you something totally different, wouldn't they? Because they don't want to see that he loves us. And it's agape. Agape. There are 4 different words in the Greek language for love. It's not like I love hot dogs. I love hot dogs. I really do. As you can tell. But it is the kind of love that is willful, pure, and sacrificial. That's what agape love is. It's sacrificial love. And you think about that. That sounds exactly like Jesus, doesn't it? Sacrifice, we talk about the sacrifice all the time. This is the thing. We're commanded by Jesus to love one another in the same manner that he loved. He didn't say, if you want to like each other. He didn't say, pretend like you like each other. He said, I command you to love one another. Now look at your partner and say, I love you. And now say it like you mean it. Yeah. Now how many of you just lied? You know, in reality, we're commanded to love. That's just our selfishness talking about it, really. We have sacrificed our career. We have sacrificed a lot of money and a lot of time. But is that the kind of sacrifice we're talking about here? No. It's when we lay aside what we want for others. That's the kind of sacrifice. It's when I choose something I don't want because somebody else needs my love. I've never regretted sacrificing for my children. Are you willing to say, I'm not going to go participate in that because God's word says I shouldn't? Chances are you would say yes to me and no when it came. Because you are naturally selfish. And that's just the way we're built. But honestly, the list of sacrificial love opportunities is endless, isn't it? There's a choice you got to make all day, every day, on whether you're going to live sacrificially or not. But John 3:16 tells us something else. Of steak dinners. You know, but gift giving is a way to show somebody how much you care about them. Well, this year, Leslie and I will celebrate 30 years of marriage. 30 years. You know, and isn't she blessed? You know. Now, you know that was a joke, right? But last year, I wanted her to know that I loved her and it would last forever. I wanted to give a gift that would show her that I was going to love her as long as I lived. And I thought about it, and I thought about it. A wedding band for Leslie. And it was really funny, the guy doing the tattoo, he said, you sure you want to do this? I said, why? He said, well, because I got 3 ex-wives, and I have had to cross their name out 3 times. He was serious. He showed me. He had to strike through their name, you know. I said, no, I want an L on there. And I said, besides, L's my last name, too. But when I got back and I told her, I simply said, I could have went out and bought you a ring. I could have bought you something expensive. But I wanted to give you a symbol that I will love you forever. No one will ever be able to outgive that gift. You're aware of that. There's nothing more pure and true in the love that you get through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You can't outgive him. You can't outgive the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And throughout Jesus' earthly ministry, he tells many stories to help people understand these arguments he's trying to make. And they're frequently called parables. And we would call it an illustration in today's culture, but it's a parable. And there is a parable in Matthew 21. When harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. Well, things get interesting from there. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Nice guys, right? Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and they treated them the same way. And last of all, he sent his son to them. They'll respect my son, he said, but, that's the biggest word in English language. When the tenants saw the son, they said, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied. Sounds like us, doesn't it? Take them out! He will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. But Jesus says to them, have you never read the scripture? Sounds like us, doesn't it? Get in a conversation, say, hey, have you not opened your Bible? He says, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Now think about that. Think about it. Well, they're more than just us. They're the ones who think they've got it all together. You know anybody like that? Maybe it's you. Maybe you think you've got it all together. They're the ones that think they're without sin. Have you ever slipped into that similar mindset? We're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. We say things like, well, my sins aren't as bad as their sins. Especially when we watch the news. How many times have you done that? What's wrong with these people? Why are they doing that? Have you said that? But have you ever looked back at your own life? That hurts. It hurts me. None of us. The Bible is clear. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short of lining up to what He tells us we should be. You can never try hard enough. You'll never do it. But does that mean we shouldn't try? No, you should try. There should be effort in it. You know, the Bible says we're all guilty of falling short, but we need somebody to save us because of that. That's why God sent Jesus, because He knew we were told again. God does indeed love us, regardless of where we've been or what we've done. And we also know that God displayed His love by sending His own Son. What does it mean for us? Does that mean we should just go on doing what we want to do? I think God's desire for us in response to is extremely clear. We should love Him back and love others the same way He loves us. We already read in John 13:34 that He said He calls it a new commandment. Commandment. However, I mean, when Leslie and I got married, I had to put my hand on her back to keep her from running. She's still trying to run. But you think about it. It's a fear of commitment. And we live in a society that doesn't want to commit to anything. You see it in church. We put out things like, we want you to RSVP. And nobody signs up, but they all show up. It's just like, I can't sign up. I'll have to really go. So we cancel the event. And then everybody's going, why'd you cancel it anymore? Because they're afraid of the true commitment that it comes. You can just walk away without any legal penalties. But when you get married, it's being committed. It's different. It's different. We all understand that He says it's going to take effort. And let me ask you another question. If you're going to love people, is it going to take effort? Well, let me ask you it another way. Do you know anyone that is hard to love? Don't anybody elbow anybody in here. Do you know somebody that just seems miserable and upset? Those are the ones that I want to show the most love to. Because they need it. Just like we do. But I don't just want to talk about those people that are just sour. It can be easy to love friends and family. It can be easy to love the people you're around all the time, your friends and your group. But what about the person who wronged you? Can you love them? What about the person who stole from you? Can you love them? What about the person who... Do you know why He had to suffer? Because we're rotten. Human beings are rotten to the core, including me. We're all guilty of those nails. We're all guilty of sin. And that's the reason Jesus had to go and pay that price. We're all guilty. So why can we not show the same grace that we're so grateful to get from Jesus? Why can we not show the same mercy that we're so animate that we've got from Jesus? Sometimes we were talking this morning, I was talking to a guy, and he said, you know, I'm pretty good at turning the other cheek, but the other cheek gets sore too. You know, but he says, I tell you not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. That's a lot. Your eyes will be swollen shut. You know, think about it. Another way to say it is, forgive, forgive, and forgive, and when you think you've done enough again, forgive. But it's so hard. Because we live in a society that's, you know, but in our world, we're taught to cancel people. I'll just cancel you. Now, I don't know exactly how that works. I don't know anybody that's really been canceled. You know, they might yell at you a lot and call you names, but I don't really care. I've heard that all before. But Jesus said we shouldn't cancel people, we should reconcile. You know, I've had lots of people over my 20-plus years in the ministry leave the church because they didn't like the way I preached or the way I dressed or whatever their reasons may be. And I always call them. And I get the opportunity to tell me how they feel. The church. You don't have to come here. And we can still be friends, and I'll still be there for you if you get in a bind and you can call me. But we can't do that in society for some reason. Instead, it's we got to get even. Jesus taught it as much as it's in our power to do to make things right with others. And as with many other things we learn about the kingdom of heaven, this sounds upside down, different than what we should be. But isn't that what heaven's supposed to be, different than here? But God loved the entire universe is tough business. So often our love is tied to how we feel or how our wants and needs are being met. And when our feelings change, our wants and needs are no longer being met, then our love changes. It's called conditional love. And we all live that, don't we? Conditional. It's kind of like my granddaughter. She's coming this week. And I know Maria's going to run up and she's going to love Papa until he says no. But I can win her back with a cookie. But it's conditional at that point. But here's what I do know. God for his creation. Aren't you thankful of that? God loves even when it's unappreciated. God loves you when you're nasty, rude, and mean. Does that describe any of you? God loves you when he's not getting anything out of the relationship. And this specific love of God is never ready for us. You know, it's always available because of Jesus. Over the next few weeks, we're going to learn more about what the love that fuels Jesus. It's humble, perfect, and unstoppable. And even demands, conditions, and rules unlike anything they've ever experienced before. Who needs your forgiveness this week? Who needs your sacrifice this week? And as we worship and pray through the week, please take some time to consider those questions. Who can I forgive and show love to? If you're like me, you'll also need to pray for strength and courage to respond in righteousness. To live like Jesus takes more than words of a prayer. Do you know that? It takes courage and resolve to show your Savior that you're thankful for the love he showed you that day on the cross. You can't do it without the Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Did you catch that? We love to talk about this free gift of salvation, don't we? But it wasn't free. If you think Jesus going to the cross wasn't a terrible penalty to pay for your forgiveness and your salvation, you need to look again. You were bought at a terrible price, one that you and I deserve to have to pay. He paid that price. Doesn't that mean something to you? That's the reason it says, honor him with your bodies. Honor him with the things you say and the things you do. Honor him by loving others the way I loved you. That's what he means. Can you do that? Can you honor him? By sharing the love and mercy and the grace that he gives you, sacrificed his all for us. So this is the invitation. It's an invitation to come forward and confess him. Be baptized into Christ and know that you're going to heaven to live that promise. And many of us, we did that a long time ago. Yet we find ourselves harboring bitterness in us, anger towards someone, unforgiveness. You know, this is an invitation for you to say, thank you, Jesus, for the mercy that you've shown me. Don't you love him enough to live like that kind of love? set aside ourselves today. And let's show him thank you for the passion that held him to that cross. The passion that is driven by his love for you. Can we do that? Let's do it as we stand and sing.
When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me, and
diaper and wipe drive, and I laugh because I told Leslie's niece, she got a big old box of wipes. I said, those will last you a week, you know, and so we're going to help them out. If you want to give them some diapers and wipes out there, that is good. We got like four babies going to be born here in the next little while total. Yeah, this is Amy and Chris. They're here almost a week, and they're the front row people. We changed the name of this church to Real Life Christian Church because we want to be real people living out a real faith for Jesus together. But that has to show somewhere other than in this building. This building is not the church. You guys are. So take it out there with you and make a difference. I'll be up here for a little while afterwards if you need to see me. And hey, let's go be the church. All right, Kenny, you dismiss us.
Please bow your heads with me. Dear God, you made us with a purpose. And that purpose is to live for you and to go out into the world and care.